Today is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, and we have several announcements. First, there will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. And then this evening, we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. So this will be the last Sunday that we have benediction, because beginning in July, we have our summer schedule, so this will be the last opportunity for that. And tomorrow after the 8:30 a.m. Mass, there'll be the cleaning of the chapel. And then, as you know, all the daily Masses are at 8:30 a.m., but this week we have two major feasts, and that is on Tuesday, the 29th, is Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, and so there'll be a High Mass at 9 a.m., and then benediction of the Blessed Sacrament Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. And at that benediction, we recite the litany, the two litanies of Saints Peter and Paul. And then Thursday, July 1st, the Feast of the Most Precious Blood of Our Lord. And again, there'll be a High Mass at 9 a.m. And then in the evening, benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m., at which we'll recite the Litany of the Precious Blood. And then, because of the feast day, there'll be no holy hour this week. And then on this week is the first Friday of the month. So after the 8:30 Mass, depending on Father Ward's wishes, he'll probably have a conference, but at least we'll have the rosary after Mass. And then this week, this Saturday is the first Saturday of the month. If you have devotion to a Blessed Mother under that dispensation, so the Mass is at 8:30 a.m. This Friday is the Feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary also, and then Saturday, St. Irenaeus. So we wish we had more time, but we're not going to speak about those feasts other than the fact that the Feast of the July 2nd, the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, if you go to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website, or you go to a Novus Ordo calendar, that feast is dropped on that day. They abolished it. It was put on that day because it was in Thanksgiving for victories, military victories, when the church was being attacked. And on that day, centuries ago, we can't go into details, but the Pope instituted that feast and put it on that day as a thanksgiving for the help of the Blessed Virgin Mary against anti-Catholic, atheist, and Masonic forces who attacked the church. So you can see why after Vatican II, they don't want to offend certain people, so they remove that feast. But we have it here, because we stand for what that feast honors, namely, who it honors, Our Lady, and that great event, the mystery of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the second joyful mystery. So, we thought we'd give you a reminder, and that is, Thursday is our retreat day, but when there is a major feast, like for a first-class feast on a Thursday, we open the chapel, as we did this last week for the Feast of St. John the Baptist. He was the holiest person, according to what our Lord said, who has ever lived. except for St. Joseph, he says, in the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. That's considered to be a reference to St. Joseph. So we all know that people have schedules and work and vacations, whatever, but there was virtually nobody at that Mass on the feast of St. John the Baptist. And what was extra sad was that Father Ward had the Masses this last week, and he gave a beautiful sermon about this holy man. He composed it just for that day. I'm sorry you missed out. It might be on our website, so you can listen to it. But I just remind you to do the best you can to it when to assist at Mass anytime, daily Masses, but especially feast days, and especially when it's a Thursday when we open the chapel. Most of the second-class feast days of the Blessed Virgin Mary that fall on Thursday, we will open the chapel. So we just remind you to do that. And when I say remind, I mean a lot more than that, okay, because of the importance of your soul. So his sermon was so moving to me personally that I'm going to tell you two points that he said. Two virtues, two characteristics of the life of St. John the Baptist that applies to us right now, today. And that is, never give up hope. Don't be discouraged. Always have confidence that God will take care of you. And the second is to do your duty, whatever it may be. Be faithful to your duties, even those the most menial tasks. We heard a conservative commentator recently, Catholic, ex-military, I think special ops, whatever. But he's saying the same basic principle because so many people today in the last 18 months were forced out of their jobs. For an unjust reason, some say. But many of them, now it's people going back to work, a lot of people don't want to go back to work because they're being paid to stay home. And he said, this commentator said, how important it is to have in yourself, but also have an appreciation for the dignity of work, meaning having a purpose. Because that's as human beings, men and women, boys and girls, doesn't matter what age, you have to be, you want to be productive, spiritually, materially. If we don't have that, we waste away and we become slaves of the masters of the devil. In other words, those who come from the evil spirit who want to enslave us. And he said, and now he's makes probably quite a bit of money broadcasting his program, but he said, I did not forget where I came from. And I remember it. I think of this often, and I think it's good for all of us to remember. He did not forget where he came from. He says, I used to just mop floors in a mausoleum. That's what he was doing, menial work. And he said, I wanted to do the best I could because that was my job. And so he did that. And he shares those principles basic principles, but it's good for all of us because it all goes back to what Father said about St. John the Baptist. He was faithful to his duty, his mission. And he gave up his life for that, for his principles, because he did not shrink from his duty to tell the king that the woman you're living with is not your wife. You're committing adultery. He did not shrink from his responsibility to tell leaders that you're committing a sin publicly by what you say and do. And you know the Catholic bishops caved in and will not do anything to make sure the Blessed Sacrament is not distributed to those who are public sinners. So we just, again, reiterate that because they are a disgrace. Now, these two feast days of Saints Peter and Paul on Tuesday and the Most Precious Blood on Thursday are very important, so we encourage you as much as possible to adjust your schedule. That's why we put in the announcements. I put it in weeks ago to remind you. Like the gospel, you give a notice way ahead of time. The herald says, get ready. These feast days are coming. That's why you have your liturgical calendar. If possible, with the greatest reverence, and I mean that, and devotion, you should look at your calendar and say, how am I going to plan my year, my events, duties, business trips, vacations, whatever, around the feast day so I can assist at Mass? Because that would please God the most. I remember about 10, 15 years ago, I was instructing this new family that came to Mass here, and they were Catholic, but they were Novus Ordo, so I instructed the family in the catechism. And it was around this time of the year, I had just about finished, and I encouraged them to come to the feast day, especially Saints Peter and Paul. So the mother said, oh, okay, I'll be there, and she didn't come. And then we had the benediction. I told them about that, and she didn't come. And then it was after benediction, and I was closing up the chapel. The lights were out, and she comes in at the last minute and was very sheepish. And I had a face of disappointment because she made a promise or to try to come. Now, I understand people's schedules, traffic, that happens. And I understand, we understand. But that's up to you and God, between you and God, to make every effort to assist at these masses and these benedictions that nobody has unadulterated, not compromised. And the last thing we'll say before we read the Epistle and Gospel is a takeoff from what St. John Vianney said to his people about 150 years ago. Catholic France, but this was right after the restoration of the church, after it had been taken over by Napoleon and made a constitutional church. So all the priests and bishops were lackeys of the French government, the Masonic French government. So St. John, of course, as you know the story, he had no place to go to Mass. He'd go to Mass in a barn. And he had no seminary to go to. He went to a priest who would instruct him in his house, much more humble than our circumstances. But when he, by God's will, was ordained a priest in his parish, and I had the privilege of visiting his parish church in this small town of Ars, France, It was maybe half the size of this chapel. It was very tiny. And here he would give instructions and teach the people on Sunday. And because they were so lax and losing their faith, there were people who assist at Mass and didn't like what he was saying. And he was maybe the greatest confessor in the history of the church, hearing confessions, 18, 20 hours a day, which is a miraculous ability. And he got word that penitents, because they didn't like what he was saying in the confessional to them, they would go to neighboring towns and parishes. Well, he had enough of that, and so he rebuked the entire congregation for doing that. Take and appreciate the Mass, the sacraments, the sermons of what you have here. Do not take it for granted, but appreciate it. Now, today is the feast of our Mother of Perpetual Help. Now, it falls on a Sunday, so it's not even commemorated. You can be sure that if Father had official authority at a higher level in this country, for example, this would be at least a third-class feast. Because the icon that's on the back wall there says it all. And you know that Father Ward has had a devotion under this title of Our Mother of Perpetual Help since he was a little boy, because his mother introduced it to him. There is a lengthy history of it, but it originates supposedly from the 14th century, but there are historians who are Catholic who say that it was a copy or painted by St. Luke himself. And there's a similarity to Our Lady of Częstochowa, the icon in Poland. But the point is, I remember seeing this image as a boy. We had maybe a picture or two in the house. But I didn't understand. I didn't appreciate it. Do you see what the title is? Our Mother of Perpetual Help. Our Mother in Heaven is there to help us 24/7, always there to help us when we ask, even when we don't ask. Because we can be very bad and indifferent children. We treat her with indifference or boredom or neglect, but not in this chapel. So when Father took us to Rome in 1991, I was a seminarian at the time, as I've mentioned many times, but we saw so many shrines and churches and relics, they would fill pages just to list them. But we saw the church in Rome where this is enshrined, and the Redemptorist Order has custody of it. Sant'Alfonso de Liguori on the Esquiline Hill in Rome. Beautiful church, but very ancient looking. But you see the icon there, and that is a miraculous image. It has been the source of cures. And this is very unique because it's virtually the exact same size as that icon, as Father said, and it was touched to the original. Do you know how important that is? So it's a relic of sorts. But it depicts the Blessed Virgin Mary looking at us, holding the infant Jesus, who has run into her arms because his sandals falling off, so he's quickly jumped into her arms. And he's afraid, looking at the instruments of the passion that the angels are holding, the cross and the spear and the sponge that was put to his mouth. We are supposed to do exactly what our Lord did. Run to her arms. Always. So in the darkest times, spiritually, materially, when you feel, I have no one to turn to, I am alone, maybe I am in the state of sin, mortal sin, what am I going to do? I know what. I will go to my image of the Blessed Virgin Mary and kiss it. And I will say, Dear Blessed Mother, you are the refuge of sinners. You are the comforter of the afflicted. Help me. Help me. And that's what this devotion is all about. And that's why we wear this vestment. Our community and the sisters gave Father some years ago because it has an applique of our Mother of Perpetual Help. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, be all like-minded in prayer, compassionate, lovers of the brethren, merciful, reserved, humble, not rendering evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but contrariwise blessing. For unto this were you called, that you might inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you suffer anything for justice's sake, blessed are you. So have no fear of their fear, and do not be troubled, but hallow the Lord Jesus Christ in your hearts. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 20 to 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the ancients, 'Thou shalt not kill,' and that whoever shall kill shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'Thou fool,' shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna. Therefore, if thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has anything against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost inspired St. Peter to write this epistle, obviously after our Lord rose from the dead. So he had been confirmed in grace, but you can read between the lines and see that he is, St. Peter, is remembering not only what happened to him with our Lord present, the sermons and all the events, but also his failings, his denials, his sins. But he gives us a command. And it's interesting or unfortunate that the Protestants do not regard this epistle in the same level as St. Paul's epistles. They call them the Catholic epistles. So all those of St. Peter, St. John the Evangelist, St. James, St. Jude. Okay, these are all apostles. They include in the Bible, but they don't say that they are inspired in the same way. And that is absolutely insane and ridiculous, because who do they think they are, like Martin Luther, who do they think they are passing judgment on the Holy Ghost, St. Peter, and these apostles? Oh, they were written in Greek, they're therefore not inspired. And who told you that the Holy Ghost cannot inspire someone to write in Greek? Nobody is in the faces of these Protestant leaders, these sola scriptura, they say only scripture, and they don't even follow the scripture. St. Peter's telling us, he's saying, he's giving a command, be compassionate, like-minded in prayer, lovers of the brethren, merciful, reserved, humble, not rendering evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but contrariwise blessing. For unto this were you called, that you might inherit a blessing. So when he says, refrain one's tongue from evil and speak no deceit, those are commands. Stop lying. Do not tell lies. Do not seek revenge. And these are not just words, oh, he wrote those 2,000 years ago and it's in the scripture and I heard it at Mass. No, these are direct commands from God. Refrain his tongue from evil. Stop gossiping. Stop maligning. Stop committing sins of detraction, which is saying true things about someone, but you have no business saying them. Or calumny, saying lies about someone. Just stop. We have to refrain our tongue from evil. And as an extension to that, and we've said this before, it is a great thing to have conversations and discussions, differences of opinion, which is that's all it is, opinion. But a conversation is saying something, but then stopping and listening to your neighbor. He has something to say. She has something to say. And not to outdo or one-up the other person's events or story or account. Do you know what I mean? So someone says, oh yes, I had an accident and I sprained my arm or whatever, and the person says, oh yeah, a month ago I did, and I broke it, I went to the hospital, and no, listen to it, have compassion for what your neighbor went through. And our Lord, saying in the gospel for today to the disciples, so that means the apostles, who are 12, and then the second group of people, those who are the 72, they're called. And then there are even a tertiary level of disciples that followed our Lord. And then the holy women. So he had all these groups. But he said that, I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. What that means is not just anger, but unjust anger. So if we as priests here show anger towards the enemies of the Catholic faith here, that is just anger. In fact, it's a command to be that way. Just like our Lord was intensely angry and physical two times when he cleansed the temple of those who were dishonoring his church, his temple. Turned over the tables and got a whip and started beating them. What do the modernist clergy deserve? More punishment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be liable to the Sanhedrin, and whoever says, thou fool, shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna. Now, sometimes people misunderstand that, because our Lord, St. John the Baptist, St. John Chrysostom, St. Augustine, and the priests here, following that tradition, have called people who are enemies of the faith or followers of the devil, called them names. St. John the Baptist, brood of vipers, he called them a bunch of snakes because of their dishonoring of God's law. What this means is, how it applies to us, is if you call someone a name unjustly, such as your spouse or your children or a friend, it says you'll be liable to the fire of Gehenna. That means hell. You'll go to hell for calling an innocent person a name because you have contempt for them. That's what that means. And the last thing we'll say is this last sentence of today's gospel. Now we know that in your families, among your friends, and among all of you here, it's not perfect harmony. You know why? Because that doesn't exist. It doesn't exist anywhere. It never has. It doesn't exist in any family or community or business or school or religious community. It doesn't exist in ours or the sisters, because we're all children of Adam and Eve. So we have faults. So we have to be patient with others' imperfections. Isn't that correct? But our Lord is telling us, if you remember, let's say on the way to Mass, or you're going to Mass, and you, as it says, remember that thy brother has anything against thee. In other words, you've offended your neighbor. You said or did something to someone in your family, or a relative, or someone at work, or someone here in the chapel, and you were unjust, or you had a terrible argument, or disagreement, or treated the person with contempt, stop everything and reconcile. He says, if thou art offering thy gift at the altar, that means coming to Mass, and there rememberest that thy brother has anything against thee, leave thy gift before the altar and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. How practical. How beautiful to hear that. But sometimes we don't like doing that because it means we have to be humble. We have to humble ourselves, and we have to say those three words to our neighbor that can be difficult. I know, because I've done this. I've done this. And I have to say, I'm sorry. I am sorry for what I said. And the person forgives. They have to forgive you because you've apologized. And then both of you can come to Mass, come to the chapel, and be acceptable before God, so to speak, because you've settled that difference. And the very last thing is, don't we do that by going to confession? Creation of Jesus Christ, when we've been guilty of sin, any sin, but especially mortal sins, before coming to the altar, before coming to the communion meal to receive the Holy Eucharist, we have to go before the priest who represents Christ, and we have to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did this, and I did these bad things so many times. And our Lord blesses you with the absolution of the priest, and then you are welcome to receive our Lord, who is anxious to receive you because you're anxious to receive him. And the best day this week for that practice of receiving Holy Communion, not only on the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, but on the Feast of the Most Precious Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That feast also was instituted by the Pope in the 1800s for victory against the enemies of the Church, and as the Lady, our Lady of the Visitation, or the Visitation of the Blessed Mother, the Feast of the Most Precious Blood was removed from the calendar. No, it wasn't. It's on the calendar. Go to the back. You can see it's on the calendar. In heaven, July 1st is the Feast of the Most Precious Blood. I can guarantee that that's what it is. They're not following in heaven what's going on in these parishes. But that's the day you receive the body and blood of soul and divinity of Jesus Christ when you come to Holy Communion, and it's a special day because you're honoring, adoring the most precious blood of our Lord that was shed for our sins, for your sins, for my sins. So we hope these reminders, these corrections, are received with an open heart, and I'm trying to follow what St. Peter said, to be compassionate. May God bless you.